Everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome once more to Reckless Attack. I am, as always, your GM Nathan here, surrounded by the excellent players here at Reckless Attack. See, that's the key to good marketing, is you just keep repeating the name of your podcast like 10 times in the first like 10 or 15 seconds of the episode. What podcast was that? Reckless Attack. That's right. Good job. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I was really like, I gave a pause. It's like, I've just been talking for a while. Will someone else jump in? No, they're all just staring and waiting to see if Nathan will continue blabbing. But hey,
run the game, Nathan.
That's enough for me. Hey, who are you on the right? Who's shouting at me?
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I play Zelv Asterlin, the Dragonborn monk, who is currently on his way out of the city with a couple of tasks that he was going to do, kind of like monk type things,
like running some errands or
something. Don't worry about it. I'm sure it'll never come up, won't be important.
Okay, that's weird, but okay, yeah, sure, go ahead, carry on, guys.
Yep. And to my right,
hi everyone, I'm David, and I play Caskrin Brightmane, Dwarven Warlock, who is currently at the guild hall, snuggled into his bed with his little cup of tea and some medicine as he is nursing his cold.
Oh. Huh. Well, that's not like a classic adventurer posture, but hey, you know, hey, we've had stranger starts, and you know, hey, guilders, they get colds too. Just like David.
Mm-hmm. And across the table from me.
Hi everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human Astric cleric of the Arcana Domain. And Valeska finds herself willingly locked into a study room at the Agmar Library, decoding several books. She has a separate sub-checklist of her checklist to do a lot of research in a day. She found the ultimate study drink of Agmar, went to the local coffee shop, stopped and got Andromeda 1-2. And she's really just hunkered down. There's a do not disturb for any reason, even if the library is on fire sign outside her study
Let
room.
Me die here. Yeah. This is where I want to be buried. That's, I mean, great. That sounds very Val, but it sounds like pretty serious. Not like go off an adventure vibes. I guess, what's the other?
Player to my left.
Yeah. What are you up to? What's going on there?
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Checkers is on top of the world right now. He is currently positioned on top of the giant obelisk that we have here in the Red City, the one that was featured in episode 42, The Mothman.
Do you remember that specifically? Yeah. Oh, hey, hell yeah.
Yep. And he is up there staring at these Agmar skyline, looking over the massive red walls, really enjoying the view of the city from up here. But at the same time, he is also finding himself having to clean up bird poop off of the obelisk as he just takes out a little rag and just starts wiping the shiny obelisk down and is grumbling to himself all the way up here.
Yeah, what's the mood at the moment for Checkers?
It is definitely a mix of excitement at being up here, but also just like grumble, grumble, grumble. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I don't really want to be doing this. Like,
you want to be up there, but you want to be up there doing something else,
right?
Yeah, like
on
casting
my own
finger
terms.
Of death,
exactly.
For example,
right?
Yeah, you're up there, guys. I'm sorry, rest of the table. Like, the rest of what you guys were saying, that's pretty lame. We're gonna go with what Jonathan said.
You don't want to listen to Caskrin's adventurers recovering from a cold? There's a war happening inside Caskrin's body, Nathan.
We will go. What is it? The
magic school bus.
Yeah, we'll magic school bus. I was gonna go for like the actual like sci-fi movie that it was based
it's the
on.
No, magic
but
school bus.
I like yours much
inner
better.
Space or something like that.
There's a bunch of them, I think, but. Unfortunately, as you are up and in contact with this impressive, you know to be truly magical item. Last time you were filled with magical energy, you were communing with something during a huge fight that had the soul of the city at balance. There's no whispers anymore.
No, none of that.
There's no power kind of coursing through your veins. It's kind of hot up here. Like, it's black, so it's like really like, it's not nice.
Releasing that heat.
Yeah, it's not nice to like cling to. Checkers, you've been at this all day. Because, well, I don't want to be the one to say it. I think you, Jonathan, and Checkers should be the one to say it. What has Checkers been up to for these last handful of days?
You may remember the ending of one of our previous episodes where Namgar came into the guild hall and had an announcement to make in that Checkers was under arrest.
Indeed.
And to Checkers' dismay, this was not the cool kind of arrest that he was hoping for.
Like, no.
All the kids in Lotros really hyped up this idea of Checkers going to jail, like being trapped in a dungeon, having to fight his way out of the jail for his freedom and everything. No, none of that. Not here in Agmar. No, Checkers was, quote unquote, sentenced to community service. And like, once you start causing like lightly mass panic at the Waveless Lake, you know, that's something that you can't really ignore. So it's about time to talk to Checkers about this and maybe enforce some consequences upon this grung druid.
Yes. But as you are about to wipe off the last kind of little bit of bird poop, you hear a now unfortunately familiar voice kind of call up to you. Checkers, that's enough for today. Come on down.
And looking down from the top of the obelisk, Checkers sees the hedgehog guard, Jack Brill.
Indeed.
And as Checkers and Mango climb down from the obelisk, he just says, I was doing a lot of people watching up there at the top of the obelisk, and you know how many people pick their noses and just put it back in their pocket?
In their pockets?
Don't you have a booger pocket?
Yeah, right. Yeah, for their boogers. You keep them in your booger pocket, right?
Sorry, you said how many people?
Yeah, I thought it was like an Agmar thing. I'm really surprised how many people do it here.
I have been a town guard here for some time, and that is not something I am familiar or comfortable with.
Well, keep an eye out next time. I'm sure you'll see plenty of people putting their boogers in their pocket.
I sincerely hope I do not. Jack is still wearing his full guard uniform, and he is carrying around just a little checklist. And you've seen him. He has been the one who's checked in with you every day of your quote-unquote sentence. You know that he is just kind of going through, and he's like, all right, so did you clean up that skull and crossbones mark over on the western wall?
Yep, got it.
Okay, and did you take down the intricate rope traps on that alleyway off of the main drag?
I was really proud of those, too.
They were, like I said, intricate. I will give you that. But they're gone?
Yeah. Am I done yet? Can I go home?
Ooh, still a lot of bird poop up on that obelisk. No. That's hey, it's about doing the time, and you know, hey, you're doing great, Checkers. You're all done for today.
All right, Jack. I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, actually, hey, if you could just meet over by the docks tomorrow, I'll be there. I'll explain kind of all the stuff that you're doing.
Sure. Okay.
Great. Have a good day. And you see, as you walk away, Jack just start to look at everyone in the face, and then his eyes drop down to their pockets, and then look back up, shake his head, and walk quickly away. The night goes on, and you have long conversations, obviously, with all of your other guildmates that we will not be detailing right at this moment.
I will say that Val is now very curious about the black market illegal trading of graffiti that happens in Agmar.
What do you mean?
Because I'm imagining that this is graffiti is such a problem that it's like Chicago where you can't buy spray paint, like the illegal spray paint market of Agmar.
You cannot buy crayons anywhere. Yeah. They're all at all Walgreens. They're all locked up. You have to talk to a cashier and no Checkers is, or unfortunately. Or
provide three forms of ID and you can't have more than like 3 crayons.
And it can't be Checkers.
It's just like his face, like do not let him in.
And then it's also another picture next to it of Mango and then an additional sticky note of Billiam and Junior.
Yeah, right. Do not let these frogs in.
None of these frogs can buy crayons. The next day is a beautiful, sunny weekend morning, actually, in Agmar. A fantasy weekend, obviously, but weekend nonetheless. And you hear familiar sounds of docks and of markets and of just kind of all of the activity that surrounds this segment of all towns that have this sort of thing everywhere, minus, of course, lapping waves, that sort of thing. For you have once again found yourself at the scene of your latest, maybe greatest, crime, the Waveless Lake.
Hey, Jack, what's on the list for today?
Jack looks at you and says, today you, Checkers, are actually going to be getting some helpers. And at this, he rips a little bit of one of the papers off from his stack of papers on the clipboard and hands it to you. And it is filled with names. Kids, come on out, please.
This sucks. I don't like this at all.
Do I have to?
Okay, Jack. Or Mr. Brill, I'm sorry.
More hardened criminals, Jack?
Not all of them. But, Checkers, that's where you will be joined with some assistants today. They will be under your care and will be assisting you in all of the work that you'll be doing here for the rest of the day.
Hi, Mr. Checkers. I'm Thea. Hello.
Hi.
Can I pet your frog?
Can you please describe Thea to us?
I have no idea what she looks like.
It doesn't need to be specific.
Thea is a slight, wispy, under 10-year-old child who is the stereotypical tomboy from every 90s film.
Got it, yep.
But it's a little bit more talkative.
Got some like some denim overalls on and like
backwards cap, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Got some like braids for action.
Mm-hmm. Mixed with like a little bit of goody two shoes in there.
Okay, got it. And then she walks up and asks to pet the frog.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Frog, Mr. Hedgehog, when do we get to go home?
Not for a while yet, kid.
But, and you see this just sad, rosy-cheeked, like he's about to burst into tears, just a little chubby kid, walk up to you and like try to hold your hand with his little hand. And it's like, but it's loud here. I don't like it.
Can he also, not to typecast you, but can he also be a tiny, just sniffly little dwarf boy?
Yeah.
Like just a little, this classic, like
he's the square dwarf.
Square child dwarves, yes.
Yes, he has the beard. He's got like a pretty full beard, but he also has a bowl cut.
Yeah, perfect.
Mr. Frog, can we go home?
Oh, we got a long day ahead of us, kid.
Every time he says something, it makes me, think this is a bad idea. It's fine.
Listeners, I do want you to know that Jonathan did mime that he was holding
this
phone.
Yeah.
Part of it is he did accept the hand holding.
Part of it is holding his hand because he was asked to. Part of it is making sure this child doesn't run away.
He has big plans for dwarf child.
Exactly.
Yes.
My mom calls me James. And James, hold your hand.
Nice to meet you, James.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. A third. Please introduce yourself to Mr. Checkers.
Stepping up to you, Checkers, is a slightly gaunt goblin adolescent. He kind of looks at you and his eyes go a little bit wide and he says,
Mr. Checkers, I am, allegedly, a great admirer of yours. I have patterned my paintings off of studies of you.
Wow, that's really flattering, actually.
Jack Brill just looks slack-jawed at this development.
You're a painter? That's so cool.
Allegedly. I'm allegedly a painter.
this little goblin adolescent sticks his hand out to you, the hand that is also currently holding James's hand.
Yes.
And says, "Nice to meet you, Dag Codswallop, at your service, sir."
Checkers is going to grab on to Dag's hand. So he's got James in one hand, Dag in the other hand, and I imagine Thea is busy petting Mango.
Yeah, you didn't say no,
right.
So she just slowly walked up and put her hand on Mango and just pushed it in to see how far it would go. And then it's just
Mango's
hug around a Mango.
Very happy for this new development. Yes. And James, the small dwarf child, holds her hand and says, "Mr. Frog, do you know what we're doing today? The nice hedgehog man said we'd be following you around and that you had chores for us to do."
"Oh yeah, I know exactly what we're going to be doing today. Don't you worry, Jack. I got this handled." Come on, kids.
Activity. No, you have to, if you want this to count, it has to, there's the list. The list.
Bye, Mr. Brill.
Dang it, I missed it.
We're gone.
Yeah, Jack just kind of looks down. He's like, this will be fine. And he just backs away backwards slowly, just checking his notes over and over. Where exactly are you taking these children?
So Checkers has abandoned Jack Brill, that poor man. But he has taken his new crew of children.
Off to a very strong start. I'm really glad, yeah. Jack didn't hear you call them your new crew.
Right. And we're having a beach day today. We're going to go hang out on the Waveless Lake by the beach and just have a little chat, a little get to know you kind of conversation. So people at the Waveless Lake see Checkers hand in hand with both Dag and James. And I'm also imagining Thea at this point has just climbed on top of Mango.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just big hug around his neck.
I mean, there's a saddle right there.
Yeah.
It's got to be for riding.
Right. And again, he sees James, short, square, dwarf boy. He sees Thea, the human asterisk.
Yeah, sure. Humanoid enough. Yeah. Don't make me pick more details of this amorphous child.
I don't know why. For some reason, the Thea image that came in my head is a half elf. So
I described her as wispy, maybe? Yeah, don't know what I said 10 minutes ago.
You can't hold me to anything.
She's the tomboy from the Little Giants film in overalls of backwards cap and braids.
No, that immediately is well, that she's not wispy. She's, I have a clear image now.
Part of the thing is I'm trying to place Checkers in terms of height. Because he's the shortest in the Golden Tree Guild. 3 feet tall.
Thea is taller than
Nah.
Dag is not that tall.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I was going to say, you have a square dwarf and a square small dwarf and a goblin child. So you were, worst case, second tallest.
Yes.
Thea could be the same height as you. Well, wait. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, cool. I'm trying to think if James is as tall as you, but I'm actually deciding that between the years of 1 and 10, they start from a regular small cube and just extend diagonally.
Canonically, that is what we said in that Dwarven Children episode, is that they only grow equilaterally.
Yes. So I'm going to say he's half your height.
Okay.
one and a half feet, yes, by one and a half feet.
His area is going to expand as he grows older.
He's much wider than you, but he's not as tall as you.
Okay.
Guys, that's the size of a baby.
All right, kids. Everyone line up.
Yes, sir, Mr. Checker, sir.
James slowly walks over. It's like, my mom doesn't like me to be here at the docks.
Thea is just lining up on top of Mango.
Yes, perfect. And Checkers will continue.
Well, you heard Jack Brill. I'm in charge today. And that means you all have to do whatever I say.
Don't we have to do whatever Mr. Brill said was on the list of things we have to do today for it to count?
That's not important right now, Thea. What's important right now is that I learn what you all are good at and what are you in here for. So we'll start with you.
Well, I'm good at watching things. And I may have
noticed things unattended, and then didn't notice afterwards that people would miss them. Maybe. But it was good jerky, and I don't regret it.
How about you, James?
My mom says I have a sensitive soul. That's good, right? I mean, the other kids make fun of me for it, but I think I someone die. Likes me for me.
I would die for James.
The concept that children are making fun of you for your specifically using the phrase sensitive soul is now 100% canon,
yeah.
And is a devastating insult thrown around the playgrounds, yep, of Agmar. Is its nuanced bullying is they find your
is
specific sensitivity.
Is this because I showed you the Wells 100%,
for voice? 100%.
The what?
There's an SNL skit that's just Wells for sensitive boys. Everyone should watch it. It's
I'm
great.
Sure
it's
we'll,
how I describe Arthur.
I'm sure we'll link to it in the comments. Yeah.
But my grandpa put me in here because he says that I have to build some character. I don't know what that means.
I don't know how to respond to that.
That's probably the right answer.
Yep. Why don't you just keep holding my hand, James?
Okay.
You're the heart of this operation, all right? You're the glue that binds all of us together. And I hope you remember that.
I've never heard that before. I have to go reflect on this.
Again, I would die.
I imagine him, like, turning away to actually go reflect on it, but just Checkers is, like, yeah, still holding his hand. No, just, no, you cannot wander off, child.
He just looks at the waveless lake and just, like...
A pensive stare.
All right, how about you, Dag?
That was a complete misunderstanding. See, since you began your artwork, there's been a strict limit on the amount of crayons that can be sold to a single person within a single day. And I took it upon myself to take more than that. Because, I mean, you can't really draw anything with only three colors, sir. So, allegedly... Supposedly, I crammed my pockets full of crayons before leaving the shop one day, and through no fault of my own, was tripped going out the door. And then clatter, clatter, all of that stuff fell. And I'm sure it was planted on me. At least that's what I think it was now, because I don't remember picking it up. But they said I had to do community service. And so here I am, trying to be a good citizen in Agmar, while still trying to... create portraits full of color with crayons that they won't let me have enough of.
I like you, kid. I think we're gonna get along just fine.
Oh, I hope so, sir.
So we got the eyes, we got the heart, we got the hands in the group, and I'm the brains right here.
What about him? And he points to Mango.
And Thea, yeah, just like lays down on top of him and like squishes him with her whole body. Like, yeah, what about him? He's the legs.
Yeah.
Mango's the legs of the group. He gets, yeah, us away from all... I mean, allegedly.
All right, children slash in real life Reckless Attack members. It's time for community service. Hooray!
Hey!
Just what everyone assumed when they turned on this episode of Reckless Attack. So what I'm going to ask from each of you guys is... an example or like an item on the checklist that you guys have been handed that you guys are doing, and feel free to do whatever activity, I mean, within reason, that you as children would be assigned to do. And it also, of course, doesn't need to be expansive of all the things you do, but just some examples of what it is that you guys get up to this morning.
So the four of us, as part of our community service, have been tasked with helping to clean up Old Man Jenkins' cellar. Because he's old. You know, he's got a cellar. There's stuff in it.
And therefore, James has to be the one.
Yeah, and part of his community service is helping the elderly tidy their homes.
I love that now, canonically, this is a thing that happens in Agmar. And, like, that's, yeah, kind of great, actually. Yeah. So I'm super gung-ho.
And so James and Thea and Dag and Checkers are down there, like, moving stuff around, you know? He's had 80 years of just junk accumulating in here, and we're, like, organizing it,
pushing boxes in places, stacking things on top of other things, and generally making it look nice.
No, not there. The stack must be here. This is the stack corner.
This is the third time, Mr. Jenkins.
Well, do it right this time. Jimothy.
Okay. And after maybe like an hour or so of cleaning up and wiping things down and making sure all the boxes are properly stacked everywhere, Checkers does a roll call. Thea! Thea, where are you?
I'm right here, Mr. Checkers. Thea is stepping out. She has got like a broom in her hand and there's like a spider webs in her braids.
Perfect.
Because they're serious about cleaning out old man Jenkins.
Yeah, got to.
You gotta do a good job.
All right, that's one. Dag? Where's Dag?
Dag will step out and just say, right here, Mr. Checkers.
James, where are you?
I'm right here, Mr. Checkers.
I don't see you.
I'm by the boxes. I have this feather duster.
Does anyone see James?
No, Mr. Checkers. James, where are you?
You guys, and you see James, the square dwarf, slowly start to appear next to this big pile of other perfectly square objects.
It's like one of those where you have to, like, those magic pictures where you have to cross your eyes and, like, move it farther yeah. away, and then suddenly there's a James that has been there the whole time.
Just holding this little yellow feather duster. It's like, Mr. Checkers, I'm right here. I finished the boxes like you said.
Checkers is going to hop off of Mango and run over to where James has magically appeared out of these piles of boxes and go, James, how did you do that?
Do what? I was just standing over here. And all of a sudden, James disappears.
You just slowly fade back into the boxes.
No, come back.
And I'm just standing here dusting these boxes. And like, you don't see James anymore, despite being no more than 5 inches from him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, in the opposite direction that you expected him from, James's voice suddenly appeared. It's like, Mr. Checkers, is it time to go? I want a snack.
You've made James into a horror character. Like, James is suddenly very, very scary.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think it's time to go. I don't want to be around these boxes anymore.
Okay. And James reaches out to hold your hand.
All right, come on, James. Let's go.
Is there fruit snacks? I like fruit snacks.
Our group of community helpers find ourselves in a denser part of town with a row of homes, and people are moving in. It is moving day after they have stopped at the desk that the Golden Tree did. When they first arrived at Egmar, they get to move into their homes, and as, you know, people come into their homes, Egmar actually helps them with a little garden.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Aegenion's War, a peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words, "Trust no one, Tyr." Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength in diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A Foul Light Shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger. Hello, everyone. GM Nathan here. And welcome once more to the Midroll. This is where I remind you to follow us on all the social medias, particularly on Twitter at @reckless_attack, where we are posting a variety of frogs and memes and frog memes and meme frogs. You can find all our socials by visiting our website at recklessattack.com and much more. If you like us, consider supporting us on Patreon. It's one of the best ways to help us grow and improve the show. Early ad-free episodes, level-up talkbacks, and oodles of other stuff await you there at a variety of tiers. Lastly, don't forget to tell a friend if you're enjoying the show, or let us know by leaving a rating or review on your podcatcher of choice. That's all for me. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
So, the four of us are helping out with two or three homes on this street, and we are planting different vegetable plants, and Thea is like really curious about these tiny plants turn into vegetables. Mr. Checkers, how do plants work? Like, this is gonna be food? What is that about?
I think about that all the time, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, these little guys, they eat the sun, right? And then they grow vegetables underground.
That, I don't... The sun?
Yeah,
tell me more.
Both suns, actually. But you gotta be careful, you see. Not all of them grow into delicious vegetables. Some of them grow into poisonous plants, which are also useful, but not exactly what we're looking for here.
Wait, poison? But like, this is a plant that I can eat, but I can't eat all plants?
And Texas is going to pull out a piece of paper and a crayon and just do a couple of quick scribbles. And on the left is tasty vegetable. And it's like what we have here right in front of us with like a little potato underneath the ground and like two suns above the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the right side is kind of a similar looking plant, but with slightly different colorations and just like a skull and crossbones underneath the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you see, this plant turns into a delicious vegetable. This plant is bad for you. Don't eat it. But you see how much they resemble each other?
Yeah, they look almost the same. How do I know which one would kill me?
And Checker surprisingly is very interested in this topic. And he spends like the next half an hour, instead of doing what we're actually supposed to be doing, having this conversation with Thea about which plants are safe to eat and which ones aren't. And like how you can test that by biting off little bits of things and like trying little vegetables here and there.
God, I didn't but consider wait. That is how Checkers would definitely absolutely
yeah.
be testing for everything.
But Mr. Checkers, I don't want to taste the poison. Is there another way?
No. You see, you just gotta eat a little bit of it. Just a taste. See if it's poison.
But yeah, you build up your tolerance after
a while. Yeah, you'll get used to it after a while. That's the only way I know, trust me.
James, you gotta try this too! Mr. Checkers, where did James go?
James, where are you?
Again?
You gotta keep him away from the square potatoes.
So, next up is the group has been tasked to clean one of the ships that is currently anchored in the Waveless Lake. So, Dag has been climbing around on the mast and the netting and scurrying his way down the side of the ship to clear off some barnacles that have been growing there. And every so often you hear,
"Hey, I got another one off! Did you know that when they drop back in the water, there isn't any waves or splashing? Hey, Waveless Lake! I wonder if that's where it gets its name from. Hey, guys! I think I just figured something out."
You see sailors from all around the dock just kind of are watching and are kind of nodding along to this little kid. And then just the longer he goes on and on, they just start shaking their heads instead and then just go back to busying themselves to doing what they were doing.
"Hey, Dag, you're pretty good at climbing, aren't you?"
"Haven't fallen yet, sir."
"Race to the top?"
Well, I think that's a 1, 2, 3, go!"
And Checkers will spend some time racing Dag up and down the rope netting all the way up to the top of the mast and then back down again. And at the end of it, Checkers is really impressed, actually, with how Dag is able to climb up and down these ropes. Like, he doesn't beat Checkers, of course.
Naturally.
Nor does Checkers let him win.
No, right, either. No. You don't let the kids win, right? You crush them to show who's on top.
Yes. Give them a high bar to get to surpass.
Right. But at the end of it, Checkers looks back and goes, that was pretty good, Dag. Nice job. And he high-fives him.
Thank you, sir.
And Checkers...
Yes.
Checkers, surprisingly, you are done early. And you maybe note that it isn't simply just that you were kind of able to muscle through these tasks, but genuinely, the kids were fairly helpful in accomplishing these tasks. But it is well before Jack Brill is supposed to show back up, so you have a little bit of time. So as you guys are sitting there and enjoying, I don't know, whatever jerkies or freshly caught or stolen fish or whatever
James's
it is.
James's fruit snacks.
James, yes. Oh, the largest pile of fruit snacks in all of Agmar.
I like the cherry ones.
You just have been picking individual cherry ones out of everyone's pack.
James, you can't just eat the cherry ones. You gotta eat the rest of them, too. For all the vitamins.
But I like the cherry ones.
The cherry ones only have vitamin C for cherry.
My mom tells me I need to eat a balanced diet. Alright. Can I have the lemon one, then?
Mr. Checkers, is that for vitamin L?
Yeah.
What does vitamin L do?
Well, you see.
I think it's important... an important skill for all DMs is to know when to jump into conversations and when to let it keep going. And God, I want this one to just keep going indefinitely.
Obviously, it's for having an L of a good time.
And that's when Jack Brill. So you guys have been doing your snacks, and as you're chatting and just kind of enjoying this very pleasant. I think it's like kind of late summer day here in Agmar, and just kind of relaxing. You see Jack Brill approach you guys once more, and the hedgehog guard comes up and looks around at you guys and just like, you finished everything already?
Yeah, got everything on the checklist done. These kids are a great help, actually.
Even old man Jenkins' basement? He is a tyrant. I thought that would be like most of the morning.
Mr. Brill, he made James move so many boxes, but then James is... a box and can be transformed into boxes. And Thea's like going into like a checker style explanation because she's eating a lot of fruit snacks.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I was just standing next to them.
But James, it's so cool. You become invisible.
I don't want to be invisible. I like being visible.
Well, a couple things. James, I see you, buddy. You're there. Second, I didn't realize you guys were here, that old man Jenkins is a treasured member of our city, and we are happy to help him. That's all. I didn't say anything else.
Did he have too much vitamin T for Tyrant?
Anyway, Jack Brill kind of like just like steps even further forward to make sure he has all attention, and he says... I guess it's a time to go, kids.
No!
No!
But we're having so much fun! Mr. Checkers is the coolest!
Yeah, I had a good time today. I don't want to go back to my mom yet.
I want to hang out with my friends.
Guys, I'm sure that Mr. Checkers has things to do today. He's a very busy guilder protecting the city. He has more community service hours to do. He's very busy, right, Mr. Checkers? I'm sure that you have other things to attend to.
And you suddenly feel a small dwarven hand take yours. We don't want to go yet, Mr. Checkers.
Mr. Brill, I didn't even think about painting anything bad for like a million hours today.
But Mr. Brill, Mr. Checkers didn't even get to teach us about like the other poisons.
Jack looks at you and... cocks his eyebrow just a little bit.
You're right, Jack. I am pretty busy. But I guess I could hang out here a little bit longer.
Yay!
Why is
James Sam.
Is that a happy noise? Hey, Checkers, can I just talk to you for just a second? Just really quick?
I'll be right back, kids. Gotta talk to Mr. Brill.
Hey, Checkers. So as long as you are really okay with watching the kids, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty good so far.
Wow, that's great to hear, actually. So usually I walk all the kids home, but something has called all the guards that are on duty right now.
I have an alibi.
Yes, of course. So actually you would be doing me a really big favor if you either drop them off yourself or... You know, you can keep hanging out for a few more hours. That's no problem. And hey, it doesn't even have to be community service work, though it can be if you want to keep doing that.
Well, this counts towards my hours, right?
Yes. You're doing me a favor. You're doing the city a favor by doing me a favor by doing the guard a favor. So yes.
And Checkers will turn around from his conversation and say, "Hey, kids, more community service."
Yay!
Wow. All right, well, kids, I will be back after a little while, or if you don't hear from me, Mr. Checkers will make sure that you guys all go back to your homes. Again, stay in Agmar, be safe, eat something besides fruit snacks. He's saying all this as he's like kind of backing away and like fixing his helmet and stuff, and says, and have fun.
Is there somewhere quiet we can go? We've been at the docks all day and I need time to sit down and think.
And Checkers will turn around to the kids and just go, "You know, I've got a pretty cool place that we can hang out."
Yeah, let's go somewhere cool!
Is it the guild house, Mr. Checkers?
No, it's better. It's a place that no one else has been to except yours truly.
What?
It's a secret hideout.
Ooh.
That's so cool.
Is it far?
No, actually. It's hiding in plain sight. And Checkers directs...
Like James!
Yes, like James.
Why do you all keep saying that?
And Checkers directs all of your attention towards the island in the center of the Waveless Lake.
Out there?
It's a pretty spooky place over there, and I wouldn't take just anyone to the island, but I think the three of you have something special.
Thea, like, nudges James. Is like, "Hear that, James? We're special."
All right, kids, grab your stuff. We're going on an adventure to the island in the Waveless Lake.
Yay!
Woo!
And that is where we will end this week's episode with cheers of joy and sighs of joy of something. But see you all next week.
Bye.
But it's like everyone is down in the thing and James is struggling with a barrel or I don't know, whatever the fuck weird shit old man Jenkins has down there.
I really want to do James. We can't find James.
Yeah, for sure. We're doing that.
All right. Like,
all James right. is going to be stealthy.
Yeah.
Wherever
there are square objects abound, he cannot be found.
Yeah. He could be any of these square objects.
Is that a window? No, it's James. Perfect. To the wall.
Yeah. Perfect master of disguise. Yeah. Also, I think we should isolate that audio and just put it in after when you're about to say, like, whatever we're about to say, I want to be like, wherever squares are, like that deserves, I desperately need that to be in the episode. Actually, as part of the conversation.
As a voiceover for the intro to the television show that will be about James.
Yes.
Wherever you find squares, you'll find
James.
You won't find James.
He doesn't have a cool code name.
He said wherever squares abound, James will be found.
Yes. And again, there's no code names, nothing. It's just James.
And then you just like out next to the television screen, you just hear,
Aww. And then James pops out.
Because he was the television.
I was here the whole time.
He will still be the greatest burglar of all time, but still kind of a sad boy.